This is Mark Irvin, and I'm glad to be with you again today for another Bible school lesson on walking in divine prosperity. Walking in divine prosperity. Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin, and I'm so glad to be with you again for another Bible school class on walking in divine prosperity. Walking in divine prosperity. Before we get into the message, let's go before our Father. And let's ask him to lead and guide us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have, again, to study your word, to learn your word. Father, you're on the inside of me, and you're on the inside of those that are listening to this class at this time. And I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, that you bring forth this message in a way that each and every person could understand. I thank you that you put your Holy Spirit on the inside of them to give them revelation. And we trust Holy Spirit to do that right now. We trust you to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bible to 3 John, 1st chapter, verse 2. 3 John 2. 3 John. Of course, there's only one chapter in 3 John. 3 John 1. In verse 2, and this is the text that we've been using for this class. John is writing here by the inspiration, the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us a key to prospering. To prospering financially in this life. And that key is with your soul. With your soul. It says in 3 John 1, in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So as your soul prospers, it's going to bring prosperity in your finances, and it's going to bring health into your body. And those are two of the most important natural things that you have in this natural life, health and finances. Without good health, and without finances, without money, you are limited. You cannot fulfill what God has called you to do in this life. It's so important that our bodies are healthy, and it's so important that we have the money to give, the money to bless, the money to do what he's called us to do, the money to go where he's called us to go, the money to purchase the things that we need to purchase for our natural life. All of these things are important. You cannot fulfill the will of God without good health in your body and finances in your pocket. So, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest be in health, thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, Old Testament book of Psalms, and this is a powerful, powerful passage of scripture in the Old Testament about prosperity. You know, prosperity was a part of the blessing of God in the Old Covenant. It was part of what the Jews enjoyed in the Old Covenant. You could never tell a Jew, even today, that it's not God's will for them to prosper. They know that prosperity is in that Old Covenant. They also know that health is in that Old Covenant. They know that those are two benefits of the Old Covenant. And so in Psalms, the first chapter, the very first chapter of the book of Psalms, I want you to notice what it says. It says, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the path." Notice, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed. This word blessed here itself speaks of prosperity. I like the way the Amplified Bible records this verse. The Amplified Bible is an English Bible that takes the Hebrew or the Greek words and amplifies them. It gives you even more meaning to what these words actually mean in the English. It would be the same in your languages. The word blessed means, in the Hebrew, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Happy, fortunate, to be envied. That would mean that you would have a happy life. People would consider you fortunate. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, well, you know, you're fortunate? Sometimes the world uses the term lucky. I don't like that term, because lucky actually comes from, it's my understanding, it comes from the word Lucifer. We don't have luck. We're blessed. Praise God. But fortunate. Fortunate means that you're blessed. It means that there's something upon your life that has caused the blessings to flow into your life. Well, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Do we have a life that other people wish that they had? That's part of our testimony. That's part of our witness. It says, blessed is the man, or happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man that walketh not in the counsel and the ungodly. We do not listen to the advice of the world. There are many times that the world gives us counsel that is contrary to the word of God. There's several, you know, things that in our society, you have this in many moral issues like abortion, like homosexuality and pornography and all those kind of things. People try to justify those sinful actions. Well, as Christians, we shouldn't be shocked that it's the nature of the sinner to sin. But we're not to walk after that counsel. We're not to get ungodly counsel from the world. We need to get our counsel from the Word of God, those that even know the Word of God. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. We're not to be found standing in the same path, same way that the sinners stand in, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We do not go against the things of God. We do not mock the things of God. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law, or we could say his delight is in the word of the Lord, in the law of the Lord in the Old Testament is a reference to Christ. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law, or in this word, doth he meditate day and night. Thank God for his word that we can constantly keep in our thoughts, his word that we can constantly keep in our hearts, that we think about all the time, that we search all the time, that we study out all the time. I'm telling you, it's the Word, the Word, the Word. And in this law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. What does that mean? That means that there are times that things are going to manifest. With everything, there's seed time, then there's watering, then there's harvest. There's seed time, then there's watering, then there's harvest. And that's the way it is with our finances. The whole kingdom of God operates on the principle of seed time and harvest, seed time, harvest, seed time, watering or growing, then harvest. So, so important. And you know, praise God, you've been blessed. You've been blessed on the inside. You've been blessed with the ability to prosper. You've been blessed with the ability to multiply and increase the finances that you have. All of this is on the inside of you. And this principle works through seed time and harvest. And you know, when the harvest comes, don't stop. I'll tell you, don't stop giving. You know, one thing that I do, I make a practice in my own life. Anytime that I'm in a place where there's good ground meaning these are ministries that I receive from, these are ministries that have blessed my life, these are ministries that God uses to change my life, anytime that I'm in their services, I've always got seed, always got something to sow into that ministry. I never let an offering basket pass without putting something on the inside of it. Why? Because it's another time to sow seed. It's another time to put the financial seed out. And there's a verse, in fact, let me just take some time to look this up, and I'll share it with you. And this comes from Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Well, here's what this verse means. people that would travel the river, they would go down the river and they wanted food for the next time that they would go down the river, other times that they would go down the river. And so what they would do is they had some seed in the boat, and they would take the seed and they would cast it out on the water. And the seed would go into the riverbanks eventually, and it would find soil, and it would begin to grow along the riverbanks. And so as the people went down the river, they could actually find food. They could find food based on the seed that they had planted, find food for the next time. And that's the way it is with our giving. We want to keep our seed out there. We want to continue to sow our seed so that we have that ongoing harvest. I'm telling you today, my life financially is a result of the seed that I have sown yesterday. Seeds of faith, seeds believing God for the finances. And over and over and over, God continues to work in my life to bring in the finances to do what he's called me to do. And it's the same way in your life. And so any time that I have opportunity to give, whether it be with my offerings or, of course, through my tithes belong to my local church, and we're going to see this in the future, always sow that seed. Always keep that financial seed out there so that as I go down the river of life, there will be food, not only food for my family, but also seed to sow, seed to continue to sow. Psalms, again, 100, or Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season." There's a season. There's a season to sow, and there's a season to reap the harvest of what you've sowed. That's what you and I are. Our whole life is being a tree that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. We're not going to dry up and die. We're going to stay alive. Alive because we are alive with the Spirit of God. We are alive in the New Testament with the life of God. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, look at this, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It is God's will that every single thing that you put your hand to in this life, everything that you do in this life prospers. What if it would be that way for you? What if it would be that way, that everything that you put your hand to in this life turns to gold? Everything that you put your hand to in this life is successful. Well, that's God's blessing upon your life. That is his intention. That is his desire for you. Don't tell me that God wants you to live in poverty. Don't tell me that God wants you to live with all kinds of lack from one failure to another failure. No. God's plan is that you become a success, and that you live successfully in every single area of your life. It's, you know, this is one of the exciting things about being a minister of the Word of God. You see people go through their life, and maybe they come to your church, or maybe they come into your life and they were totally messed up, totally broken. I mean, their whole life is a result of all the bad seed that was sown in their previous life, and some of that stuff is caught up with them. And so what happens? God's Word begins to take hold, and then they start acting upon the Word of God, start applying the Word of God to their life. And I'm thinking of somebody right now. I'm just seeing it. They're beginning to bloom. They're beginning to grow. And I'm so excited because I know what kind of past that they've come out of. And I know all the hurts and all the problems and all the failures. And now I see them beginning to plant other seeds into their life. And I begin to see them walk in the Spirit. I begin to see them apply the Word of God. And as a result, they come out of one bondage after another, because they know the truth, and the truth is what is making them free in every single area of their life. And now I can look upon that person's life from the outside, and I can say, wow, here's somebody that is walking in the blessings of God. And this is the way it is. This is the way it is for you. This is the way it is for me. We walk in the blessings of God. We are happy. We are fortunate. Our life is to be envied. It's God's desire that we prosper in every single area of our life. Let's go to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the first chapter, and this is another powerful passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. You know, we're looking at some of these Old Testament Scriptures because we can learn some things. The Bible tells us that we have a better covenant established on better promises. Well, that doesn't mean that we throw out all of the Old Testament principles. Whatever the New Testament throws out, then we throw it out. But if the New Testament doesn't throw things out, some of these principles, then they do apply to you and I today. Look here in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, and verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Verse 4. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." God told them that it was His will for them to prosper wherever they went. They were not to go to the left. They were not to go to the right. They were simply to possess the land that God had given them. So important, so important. I mean, the devil, he's always out there to try to get us sidetracked, going in different directions. And any time you depart from the Word of God, you're going in a different direction. It's the Word of God that keeps you going in the right direction. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that leads you, that keeps you going in the right direction. Well, in the Old Testament, the principle was the same in the fact that they needed to stay in the right direction with the plan that God had given them, with the Word that God had given them, covenant. "This book," verse 8, "of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now we know that faith is released through the spoken word, and we have that example in the Old Testament with Abraham speaking out, calling those things that be not as though they are. And we know that God's promise is released through spoken words. Well, why is it here that it says that the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth? It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." What he's saying is that they needed to meditate the word of God day and night and get the word of God on the inside of them so strong that it becomes a reality on the inside. They see it the way that God wants them to see it, and then once it's that way, you speak it out, and your words become reality. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." You meditate. This is what God told him. You meditate the word, that you would be a doer of the word, that you would be an actor upon the word. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then," notice, "as we are doers of the word." It's the same principle in the New Testament. The word of God says in the New Testament that we're not to be just a hearer of the word and forget what we heard, but we are to be doers of the word. We are to be actors of the word. Once the word of God comes into you and you know what to do, it's important that you act upon that word. It says, "For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous." What's going to cause you to prosper? It's the word of God working in your life that's going to cause you to prosper. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. The word dismayed means to be sidetracked. For the Lord thy God is with thee. The Lord thy God in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ, whithersoever thou goest. So we have another example here in the Old Testament of the Word of God causing what we put our hand to prosper, causing everything. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. We have a better covenant established on better promises. Praise God. This promise that if they would follow the Word, if they would be doers of the Word, if they would be actors upon the Word, that promise would cause them to prosper. It's the same way in the New Testament. Our God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. It's the walk of the Spirit for the New Testament believer that causes us to prosper. And the walk of the Spirit is the walk of the Word. I'm telling you, it's the Word, the Word, the Word. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament is so important. In the Old Testament, they had the Word that changed them and their thinking and the power of their body. In the New Testament, praise God, we got the full power of the new creation, who we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And He's there not only to just give us information. In the Old Testament, they had information, but in the New Testament, praise God, God's Word comes alive. It brings all of this substance out of us as spirit. It changes us in our soul, and our thoughts change. And then you have spirit and soul that join forces and work through the body. Two against one, the body has to follow. And everything that we do, everything that we put our hand to, prospers. Now let's go to a New Testament passage of Scripture. And I want to talk a little bit about the heart. You know, giving is such an important part of your life because giving really shows you. Giving really shows you where you're at with your heart. You know, if every time that you have an opportunity to give in an offering, into a minister, or God moves on your heart to give to somebody else, and there's something on the inside that's holding you back, I'll tell you, God is not stingy, and His nature in you is never stingy. The love of God is never stingy. No. God's love is a giving nature of love. He is a giver. He is a blesser, and you have the giver in you. You have the giving nature in you. You have the blessing nature in you. And, you know, people that have problems with giving, really, they got a heart problem. And that heart problem, I'm talking about in the soul, there's some kind of hang-up in their soul that needs to change. And the only way that it's going to change is through the revelation of the Word of God, allowing God's Word to come in and take hold and bring forth that loving nature that's on the inside of you to bring about that change. And this is one of the reasons that God even put giving in His Word as a principle that applied in the Old Testament, not only in the Old Testament, but it also applies in the New Testament, because it would always be a test of the heart. It would always be, there's two things, even when we come together in a church service, there are two things that are signs of the heart of the people, and that is their giving, and that is what they do during praise and worship. Those are the two different things. And people that have a hard time with praise and worship are people that need a change in their heart. And it's the same way with people that are stingy, with people that don't give. They got a problem. They got a problem in their heart, and these things need to change. Notice in Matthew 6 and verse 19. And we're going to see some of this. We're going to see this in several different places, why God instituted giving, why He instituted tithing. In Matthew 6, I want you to begin reading with me. In verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not supposed to have a savings account. This doesn't mean that you're not supposed to have money set aside. The book of Proverbs teaches that in several different places. It talks about our storehouses being blessed. But Jesus here is referring to people that put their trust in their riches. And they do this out of fear. I'll tell you what, you're not your source. God is your source. The source lives in you. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But notice here verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Who's your source? People will put their money into what they value. Did you know that? You can always tell that about a person's life. They will put their money, if they're stingy in their giving toward God, but take their money and use it in extreme ways by financing other things, by doing other things, you can tell there's a difference. You know, our life ought to be the result of the seed that we've sown. It ought to be the result of our giving. It ought to be the result of, hey, God, you're my source, and because you're my source, I'm thankful for how you blessed me. I'm thankful for what you brought into my life. And so, Father, I just give this back to you with a heart of thanksgiving for all that you've done for me, for all that you provided for me. And you keep God your source. I'm telling you something. It doesn't matter what you go through in this life. He will always come through every single time in the area of your finances. He is the biggest giver. He's the biggest blesser. He's already blessed you in the spirit. You're blessed with everything that pertains to life and godliness. The word godliness means to live like God. He's blessed you with the ability to live like Him in this earth. That is powerful. So here we see a test here. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? The test always comes through giving. If you can give free and there's nothing in your heart that's holding you back and you're excited about it, you're excited because you know that you're giving to your Father, and you know that your Father's taking the finances and He's using these finances to advance the kingdom of God in the earth, to advance the gospel, to change lives. You realize all of those things, and you realize that He takes what you give and He multiplies it and increases it in your own life, then you're free. You're totally free. But if there's something on the inside of your heart that's holding you back, there's an area that you need to get free in, and He will help you through the revelation of His Word. Go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy 6th chapter. In verse 17, this is a great passage of Scripture too in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. In verse 17, notice what it says, charge them that are rich in this world. Charge them that are rich, hallelujah. You ought to say, hallelujah, that's me. Well, you may say, well, you know, it hasn't manifested yet. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the riches of God that are in you right now at this time. Praise God, you're rich. You're rich. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. I mean, automatically, we should get to where we are so renewed that any time that the Word of God makes mention of those that are rich, we ought to say, that's me. That's me, because we're blessed. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Be not high-minded means that they not trust in their own riches. It was the same that we read in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus talked about people that are trusting in their own riches, or they're trusting in their own abilities. High-minded means pride. You know, many times that's what happens. People have all this success, and then they start looking at themselves, thinking that they are the ones that are the source. And, you know, that's not the way it is. Even for the world, they're not the source. All of the things that they've enjoyed in this life came originally from God. God's the one that made all of this stuff for man to enjoy. He is our source. And for you and I, much more, because we know our source and we know how to believe Him for things. And so we must never, never forget that, it says that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Same thing Jesus was talking about in Matthew, the sixth chapter, about where your trust is, where your heart is. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now look at this. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God's the one that's provided all these wonderful things that we have in this life. He's the one that provides all the wonderful things and the materials that those things are made out of. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. Good works means that they live the Christian life out in front of other people. Our works are not what bring us to salvation, but our works are a result of the fact that we are saved and that we do have faith in God, that we're living by faith, that we're walking by faith, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready, here it is, here's the good works that he's talking about, ready to distribute, or the word distribute means to give. They're always ready to give. We ought to always be ready to give. I mean, it's a good thing to just carry money around in your billfolds that you can use to bless other people. Or, you know, that you just ask the Lord, Father, you know, how is it that you want me to bless people today? We just live this life to be a blessing. You are blessed, and it's God's will that you and I, we live this life, that we are ready. That's what it says. Ready. You're ready to give. It's not something that he has to pry out of you. I heard a testimony not too long ago. This is such a powerful testimony. It's about God speaking and then you and I following through and being obedient to what he says. And there was a man that actually came from America. He was in our last conference. Some of you know of this man. He was a man from Virginia that came and ministered the Word of God with his... And his name is Malik. Wonderful, wonderful man. But anyway, he was sharing a testimony about one time in the church, the Lord actually told him to fill somebody's tank up with gas. It was a certain person that had come to the service, and God actually told him to go fill that person's car up with gas. Well, he didn't do it. He didn't follow through with it. And later on after the service, the church got a phone call to find out if there was anybody that could go pick somebody up out on the highway, because there was somebody out on the highway that had run out of gas. And the person that had run out of gas was this person that God had told Malik to fill this person's car up with gas that night. Told him to do it. And here's what happened. This person was in the service. And while they were in the service, the Lord really moved on this person's heart to give a certain amount of money into the offering. And she said, Lord, she said, if I do that, you know how much gas I have in my car, and I'm not going to be able to get home. I'm not going to be able to put gas in my car. The Lord said, yeah. He said, I've already worked that out. I've already provided. Well, God was speaking. God spoke to this other person. God spoke to Malik and said to fill the car up with gas, but he didn't follow through with it. And God spoke to her about giving. And see, this is the way it is many times. God's speaking. He's always speaking. And we're always to be living ready to give. Be ready to give. Always ready to be a giver. And you know what? When he found out about this person, he had to go and ask the Lord to forgive him and then tell the person, listen, you heard from God. You were supposed to give. And he said, I'm the one that didn't obey. And he said, I want to know your bank account number right now. And she gave him the bank account. And he moved the money into her account that he was supposed to give her. And see, that's the way it is. We need to live as givers, ready to give as the Lord leads us, living to give. It is such an exciting life when we can live this life ready to give. I'm telling you, to be able to go and bless people as the Lord leads you to bless them. It says ready to distribute or ready to give, willing to communicate. Well, I see that our time has come to an end for this class on walking in divine prosperity. It has absolutely been wonderful again to be with you, to minister the word of God unto you, and I look forward to the next time that we can be together. And I want you to pray with me right now. Just pray and ask the Lord. Say, Father, there are people that you want me to bless, or there are people that you want to give. Pray and ask him. Pray and ask him. And I want to just pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this Bible school student. And I thank you for being able to minister your word unto them. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to continue to increase the revelation in their hearts about finances and about prosperity and about giving. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that as they give, that you continue to take the finances that they've given as seed and multiply and increase it 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I thank and praise you for these things right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is Mark Irvin, and I look forward to being with you at our next time as we continue on with this class on walking in divine prosperity.